Jesus' name, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your loving kindness. We thank you for this is your day, the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, have your way this evening. Move as you desire to move. We invite you to come and sit on us like you did on the day of Pentecost. Come and fill us, Lord God, every chair with your presence on this evening. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Come and do what only you can do. Father, we invite your angels, those angels that are on assignment, to come and begin to minister unto those people, your people, who have heirs, they are heirs of salvation, Lord Jesus. So begin to minister to them. Send your angel. We welcome your presence, Lord God. We welcome the angelic presence this evening to come and minister. Father, we seek to glorify your name. Make my lips the pen of a ready writer, Lord God, that I may be able to say what it is that you would have me to say on this evening. We thank you. We give you glory and praise. And all the people said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All right. This is one of my favorite sermons that I'm going to talk about today. It's a message that I preach many times before, but I've changed it up a little over the years. And it's talking about one of my favorite characters of the Bible, and that's King David. And so our scripture lesson will be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 30. There comes a moment in life when everything you have built, everything you have cherished, seem to crumble before your eyes. A moment when the weight of loss is so overwhelming that it feels like the air has been knocked out of your lungs. Have you ever been there? Have you ever looked around at the ruins of what once was and felt utterly helpless? Maybe it was a relationship you thought would last forever, but now you stand alone. Maybe it was a business you poured your heart into only to see it collapse. Maybe it was a dream, a calling, a promise from God that once burned bright, but now it feels like nothing more than smoke and ashes. What do you do when life takes everything from you? In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Gal and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burnt it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. This was happened to King David. He and his men had been out fighting, doing what warriors do. They were skilled, fearless, battle-tested. These were men who had conquered armies, who had seen victories beyond imagination. They rode into battle with confidence, knowing that they had fought for the one cause, the Lord. But what they did not expect, what no one ever expects, is to return home to nothing. Picture this, the sun is setting. From a distance, a thin whisper of smoke drifts upward, barely noticeable at first. But as it climbs, it thickens and twisting and curling against the sky. The colors deepen, shifting from a faint gray to a heavy, inky black. Spreading like a stain against the horizon, the air grows dense, carrying the weight of something unseen and undeniable. It's Ziklag, and Ziklag is burning. They are tired, but they are eager to see their families, to embrace their wives and children, to rest. But as they draw closer, something is wrong. There's no laughter, no sound of children playing, no warm fire, no meals have been prepared. Instead, the air is thick with the scent of smoke. They push their horses harder and faster, racing toward the city, only to find that everything is gone. Ziklag has been burned to the ground. Not a single soul remains. Their wives, their sons, their daughters, all taken, their homes destroyed, their possession looted. Everything that matters to them was ripped away in an instant. The Bible says that they wept until they had no more strength to weep. 1 Samuel 30:4. These were warriors, men trained for battle, men who had faced giants, men who knew the art of war, and yet in this moment they were broken. Have you ever wept until you had nothing else inside of you to weep? Until your body physically could not take another sob, until your strength was completely drained? The pain was unbearable, but then something dangerous happened. Despair turned into rage. Saints, be careful when you are hurting, because hurt people hurt other people. Because pain has a way of distorting your vision. In their grief, David's men, the same men who had fought beside him, who had followed him through battle after battle, suddenly turned on him. The scriptures tells us that they picked up stones. These brothers in arm had close warriors. These men he trusted with his life, but now they were ready to kill him. Have you ever had people close to you to turn their back on you? Sometimes the most fierce wounds that you can receive, the most painful wounds that you can receive in life is from a friend, from someone who's familiar with you. People who don't know you can't really hurt you that much. But someone who's really close to you, a friend, a companion, a loved one, they're the ones that can hurt you. And that's what's happened with David. The men that he fought with, the men that he went to battle with, the men that he won victories with, now because of despair, because of their family being taken, they blame David for the reason that this has happened to them. And they took up stone. Can you imagine? They took up stones to kill David. It is one thing to suffer loss. It's another thing to suffer loss alone. But David had lost his family, his home, his possession. Now his own men, his support system, were against him. He had no one left. But listen to this. David did something that changed everything. David did something that every one of us, as believers, as one who walks with the Lord, we're going to have to do. David, he did not collapse under the weight of sorrow. He did not lash out in anger. What he did is something that we all have to do, and it'll define us as believers in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel 30:6. How did he do this, you might ask? He began to reflect on what God had done for him in the past. He remembered when he slayed the bear. He remembered when he slayed the lion. He remembered when Goliath came out against Israel and David called him an uncircumcised dog. And Goliath wanted to kill him. Goliath toyed with him. But David went out and he was able to slay Goliath. David remembered the good times in his life, the past, the blessings that God had blessed him with. It's important, saints of God, that when we're going through and difficult times are upon us, we have to look back and remember the good times. We have to be encouraged from the things that God has done in the past. Because there are people that are around you may not be too able to encourage you, may not be able to lift you up. Maybe may not be able to give you that exact word, that word from the Lord that's going to lift all the burdens off your shoulder. So what you have to do is learn how to walk with the Lord and find encouragement for yourself. The Bible says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Sometimes you have to learn how to cry out to the Lord. Sometimes you have to learn how to lay on your face and stay there until you get an answer from the Lord. And so David had to inquire the Lord. After he encouraged himself, he begins to think about the things that God had done for him in the past. And the Bible says he encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And then after he strengthened himself, he began to do what we all have to do, seek the Lord. That is where breakthrough began. That is where restoration started, not in panic, not in retaliation, but in seeking the presence of the Lord, seeking the mind of God, the mind of God for your family, the mind of God for your life, the mind of God for your business, The only way that you're going to discover how to walk with the Lord is when you spend time with him and seek him. And in your seeking of God, he can give you directions. And it may not be a loud thunder or a flash of lightning. It may just be what Elijah experienced, that still small voice. In the middle of the night, while you're dozing off to sleep, you can hear the voice of the Lord whispering, "Trust me. Stand still. Stand and see the glory of the Lord." As many times God had told the children of Israel, this is not your fight. This is my fight. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory because the victory has already been won. He's already defeated the enemy. He's already defeated the devil and given us the victory. The Bible said we are more than conquerors. Not just are we conquerors, but we are more than conquerors. Exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can think or ask is in our God. And when Jesus died on the cross and he had, just before he got back, got ready to go back to heaven, he said, "All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me." Then a few chapters down in that verse, he said, "Now I give unto you power to shred upon scorpions." And so God has given us the victory. But that only comes from the seeking, the looking for God, looking for answers from God, not from other people, but from the Lord. Because I'll tell you as I stand here, people will disappoint you. They don't mean to. But this is the arm of flesh. It's always going to fail you. The Bible tells you, don't you put your confidence in the arm of flesh. A man who puts his confidence in the arm of flesh is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint, the scripture says. You cannot trust them. As good as they are, as good as I am. My wife, she trusts me to a certain limit. But I know she goes to the Lord. And that's the best source that she can go to, is to the Lord. I mean, the smartest person that you may encounter in your life will not have all the answer. But the one that we serve, the God that we serve, this old song used to say, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And he truly is. Too often when the enemy attacks, he reacts before we inquire. We move before we hear. We try to fix things on our own strength instead of waiting on God's direction. But David, before he picked up his sword, before he gathered his men, before he made a move, he sought the Lord. There's a song that said, "I sought the Lord," isn't it? Yeah. And listened to the question he asked the Lord. He did not say, "Why me?" Well, he actually said that in one scripture. He said, "Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine vain things?" But in this situation, he did not say, "Why me?" He did not say, "God, how could you let this happen?" He did not say, "It's all over with." He said, "Shall I pursue and shall I overtake?" That was his question to the Lord. After he had encouraged himself, after he had strengthened himself in the Lord, now he goes to the Lord to get direction. What should I do, Lord? Should I pursue the enemy? And if I pursue them, it's one thing to go after the enemy, but you need to know that you're going to win. The American government, the American military forces, when we go into battle, when American military goes into battle, they go into battle with overwhelming force. No doubt in their mind they're going to win the battle. One of my favorite generals of this century was General Colin Powell. And I remember during the Iraq War, I was in the military during that time. And he said, "We're going to go into Iraq. We're going to go in with overwhelming power and authority. We're going to overwhelm them. We're going to cut them off and we're going to kill them." So he was not only going to pursue the enemy, but he's going to pursue and win the battle. Saints of God, we are winners. We are called to be more than champions, more than conquerors. And so David, at this point in his life, when he's encouraging himself, he's inquiring of the Lord, he's asking for the mind of Christ. Before we get in any endeavor, any situation, we should get the mind of the Christ, get the mind of God about the situation. What are we going into? In a business endeavor, are we going to be in business with someone else or business with a loved one? We should go into God and inquire him. God, should I go into business with this friend? So many times I've run into friends that have gone into business with people and didn't inquire of the Lord, and it all collapsed. I'm thinking of a friend now that's not doing so well. He went into business with another friend, into a grass business, and he had his own lawnmowers and whatnot. And he thought it was a good business endeavor. Come to find out, the guy wasn't paying taxes. Went on for years until the IRS came knocking on his door and said, you owe back taxes. He said, I had to sell everything, all of my equipment. You remember the brother I'm talking about? All of my equipment. He said, the guy who was supposed to be doing my taxes and keeping up with the business, he was on vacation with his family. And I asked him the question. I said, well, did the Lord lead you to go into business with this guy? He said, well, brother, it was a great opportunity. One thing we have to learn when we're walking with God, with the Lord, is that everything's good is not God. Just because it's good, it may necessarily be God. So that's why we have to seek the Lord. We have to inquire of the Lord. Lord, I want your mind. I want to get the mind of Christ for this situation. What did I do? I see a house that I love. This is a beautiful home. Lord, should I buy this home? Should I go into debt? And get the mind of the Lord. This is a question of a warrior. That the question of whether someone who refuses to stay defeated. This is the question of a man who understands that his destiny is not tied to the ruins in front of him, but to the God who is above him. And the answer came for David. And the Lord said, pursue them. Not a suggestion, not an option, but it was a command. Pursue them across the mountains of doubt, where the voice whispers, you can't win. Pursue them through the valley of despair, where fear tells you to turn back. Have you ever been there? Pursue them across the plains of uncertainty, where every step feels like a gamble. Pursue them through the rugged hills of hardship, where pain tries to slow you down. Pursue them through the storm, through the wilderness, through the enemy's own camp, because what has been stolen from you is waiting for you to reclaim it. But understand this, pursuing is not just about chasing. It is about fighting. Pursue them in prayer. There's some battles that you can't win unless you get on your knees and talk to the Lord. Because some battles are won on your knees before they are ever won in the battlefield. Pursue them in worship. Some battles you fight, you have to worship your way into freedom. You say, I prayed, I fasted. What else can I do, brother? Well, you can worship. You can just spend time worshiping, ministering. We call it ministering unto the Lord. Ministering unto the Lord is warfare. You know, I remember this guy who wrote a book called From Prison to Praise. Praising your way out of prison. Sometime when you don't know what to do, just start praising the Lord. Pursue them in worship, because when you lift up the name of the Lord, the enemy cannot stand. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run in and hide it. Say, the name of the Lord should lift up a standard against the enemy, a barrier against the enemy when we worship. Someone say, when praises go up, blessings come down. Pursue them in faith, because what you see in the natural does not determine what the Lord has promised to do supernaturally. So we can't walk by what we see. We have to walk by faith. And faith is an action word. It's not a passive word. It means that you need to be in motion. Pursue them with the word as your weapon, because the scripture says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The enemy has taken too much, your peace, your purpose, your family, your destiny, but God did not call you to stand in the ruins of and weep. He called us to rise and pursue. Pursue them. Pursue them at dawn. Pursue them at midnight. Have you ever found yourself praying at midnight? The midnight prayer? Paul and Silas, the Bible said, at midnight they were praying. Pursue them at midnight. Pursue them at dawn. Pursue them until you stand in victory. Because here is the promise. You will surely overtake them. And without fail, you will recover. That's a prophetic word for someone. A prophetic word, a beacon bright, illuminates the dark night. It whispers hope into the soul, restores the broken, makes them whole. With vision of what it could be, it sets the shackles spirit free, encouraging in every line a touch of divine design. It stirs the heart to persevere, dispel all doubts and dissolve all fears. A compass pointing the way, a light that guides us each day. So cherish words that are prophecy. Embrace their truth. Let faith arise. For this message you receive to strengthen, to hope, the will to believe. So as I ask you today, what has the enemy taken from you? Has he taken your joy, your family, your dreams? Pursue him. Your calling, your confidence, your fire. Pursue them. Has the enemy taken your ministry? Has he taken your worship? Has he taken your passion? If he has, pursue them. Do not wait. Do not hesitate. Do not negotiate, but pursue him. Because when you fight, when you stand, when you press on in victory, you will recover all. Amen. This is your moment. This is the battle cry. This is your time to pursue. David fought them from the dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except for 400 young men who rolled off on camel and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing. Young and old, boy or girl, plunder or everything else they had taken, David brought back everything that the enemy took from him. The title of this message was Pursue and Recover All. Let's stand to our feet. I'm done. Let's stand. We're going to pray, and I'm going to turn it back home to Pastor Joshua. And so if the enemy has taken something from you, if he has stolen your joy, your family, your possession, your time, then this is your day to pursue and get everything back that the enemy has taken from you. So I would just ask you to lift your hands. I'm going to leave you with this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name,